You know, it's interesting in the gospel lesson today, we realize is the story of the transfiguration. And in that moment where Peter, James, and John were in the glorified presence of the Lord, they were astounded. I mean, so much so that Peter said in his own way that only he could, let's build three booths, one for you, one for Elijah and Moses. I guess it was going to be a carnival on top of the mountain or something, where people could pilgrimage and experience the Lord. But, you know, it was such a profound experience for them that they wanted to capture the moment and make it last forever in a very real way. And yet the voice from the cloud, the Father of Jesus saying, this is my beloved Son, listen to him, for in him I am well pleased. And, you know, one of the realities for us is that Lent begins actually this coming week. It's amazing how fast time flies. And with Lent as an invitation to, I think, afresh, listen to the voice of Jesus. Listen to what he might be speaking to into our lives, especially maybe when we're going through a place of struggle or darkness or weakness. And along that line, the book we're going to be using as a focus for our Lenten time is 40 Days of Decrease by Alicia Britt Clough. And so this book will be available. Actually, they're gone. I had a ton of them, but they're already gone. But there's a list. You can sign up. I'll order more tomorrow. But I wanted to share with you just a little bit from her prologue at the beginning of this book entitled The Grand Reduction. The sabbatical started more suddenly and violently than anticipated. A high fever, a few scans, multiple masses, possibly a lethal abscess. The specialist convened, conferred, counseled me to cancel all engagements, and began cutting. The reduction had begun. Waking from surgery, my first memory was seeing a dear friend place a hand over her mouth. Later, she told me she had never seen anyone that color alive. The masses, thankfully, were all benign, but my body did not respond well to the invasion. The area's organs went into hibernation, and for the first time in my life, I became familiar with breathtaking pain. The experience redefined that word for me. It hurt to be awake. It hurt to see my children's fear. It hurt to hear, we don't know why. In time, it would even hurt to hope. Reductions, it seems, have blurry release dates, days stacked upon one another in vain, like whisper-thin blankets with no warmth to offer. Though technology blinked, beeped, and buzzed noisily around me, the organs slept on. This healing simply would not be hurried. The wound was evidently too great to risk haste. After 8 days in the hospital, the doctor sent me home. At this point, I give you a 50-50 chance that the organs will come back online, the specialist offered. With those words, my entire recovery time to-do list vaporized into the desert heat of pain. All I could do was sit and be loved, a need that my family filled extravagantly. Little did I know that the pain was under assignment. It was making room in my life for another operation well beyond the reach of any surgeon's scalpel. I would not trade the desert of pain for the world. Deserts unclutter the soul. The hot desert sun vaporizes all manner of luxuries. Then the cold, shelterless nights expose the essential gifts of life. I needed to eat, to sleep, to be protected, and to not be alone. Lent had come half a year early. God asked me to fast mental and physical strength. He invited me into holy weakness, and I found Jesus there. And so this is just the beginning of her work, very eloquently written, very painful at times, and very inspiring as well, where she shares about this journey into weakness. And that as she goes through this time of weakness and struggle, a time that she did not choose, as she says at the very beginning, my Lent came early. She found that the Lord was still with her there in a very profound and very deep and incredible way. The Lord was there for her exactly how she needed him in her weakness. You know, I don't know about you, but a lot of times, that's the last place we want to find the Lord. We want the Lord to see us when we're doing great. We want the Lord to know all about our successes and when things are going fine. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think that's very normal and very human and a very wonderful thing. But the most important time that you and I can find the Lord is in a moment of need. It's in a moment of weakness and brokenness. It's in a moment of struggle. It's in that moment, let me define it a little bit more personally for you, where you're hiding. That moment of secret shame that you don't want anybody else to know about. That moment of profound brokenness where you'd really rather have everybody just leave the room and you be all by yourself, thank you very much. It's in those moments where we really desperately need to discover and find the presence of Jesus. As I spent time in this book, 40 Days of Decrease, there was a verse that kept coming back to mind for me in John 3:30. It's one sentence that John the Baptist spoke that has stayed with me for a long time. I'm not into a lot of really flowery language, actually. I really like those one-sentence, getcha kind of sayings. And John 3:30 is that for me. John says about Jesus, he must increase, and I must decrease. And he said this during a time at the height of his ministry, actually. He was busy baptizing people in the River Jordan as God had called him to. It was a baptism of repentance. It was a calling of the people of Israel to come back to God. And so John was right in it, man. I mean, John the Baptist was living out the fullness of his calling. He was baptizing all kinds of people. And then Jesus shows up on the scene, and guess what? Who's on the other side of the River Jordan? It's Jesus baptizing people. And John's disciples come to him and says, hey, you know what? There's this other guy, Jesus, on the other side of the River Jordan. He's baptizing people. You could be baptizing all these people. He's taking all these people that you could be baptizing. What's up, right? And it's interesting what John the Baptist says. You know, when John the Baptist first saw Jesus, he knew exactly who he was. He said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He knew in a moment in his spirit exactly who Jesus was. And so in the midst of this scene in John 3, John the Baptist says is, he must increase. I must decrease. And you see, that's the calling of our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. It's the same calling that John the Baptist had in his life. As we're on this journey of life, the ultimate invitation during this season of Lent is that he must increase in our lives. And we need to decrease. I don't know about you, but when I look at the title of this book, 40 Days of Decrease, it wouldn't be on my top 10 list of books to buy. This title does not excite me. 40 Days of Abundance? Absolutely. 40 Days of More Material Things? Get out of my way. I'm getting that book. 40 Days of More and More and More? Oh, yeah. 40 Days of Extravaganza? I can't wait to read it from the front to the back. But 40 days of decrease? No way. Not in a million years. But you see, that's what's so powerful about this work, is that Elisha, in her own journey, in her Lent that came early, in that time of actual physical cutting and decreasing of her body, in that time of experiencing incredible weakness and breathtaking pain, she met a Jesus she had never met before. She met a Lord who showed up for her in her profound pain and weakness and was just a tremendous source of strength for her. And so you see, that's the invitation for you and me on the journey as we're on the edge of Lent right now, as we're on the edge of beginning our Lent during this year. It's an invitation to 40 days of decrease. It's an invitation to really begin to live into the words, he must increase, but I must decrease. And so she goes on to share with us a little bit later in the introduction the following reflection. What might be the fruit of fasting stinginess? What would happen if our churches fasted spectatorship? What might occur if our families fasted accumulation? What could change in our offices if our offices fasted revisionism? What might erupt if a new generation fasted escapism? Such fasts could trigger a spiritual revolution. And so you see, the invitation over these 40 days, there's each day there's a meditation on each of these areas and others. There's some scripture, there's some other reflections from spiritual writers, and there's even a place, almost a page, where you can write down your own reflections and how God is speaking to you. So I want to invite you along with me to be open to traveling up the mountain of transfiguration. But before we get to that mountain, we're going to have to go through the valley. We're going to have to go through 40 days of decrease. And be open to meeting our Lord in a way that maybe you and I have never seen him before, because he's going to bring us to places we've never been before. And I just want to encourage you, when you get to that place where you want to be alone, when you get to that place where you say, I really don't want Jesus to come here. And we all have those places. Resist that temptation. Resist that urge. And welcome him into the place of your decrease. Invite him into the place of your weakness. And like Elisha, you and I will meet Jesus there. Amen.